Bibles and turn to John chapter 6, please. John chapter 6. In our Sunday afternoon services, we're in the book of Exodus, considering and studying the life of Moses, and we're in chapter 16, where God provides for the nation of Israel manna from heaven, and that manna is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're tying it in this morning in our message in John chapter 6, because Jesus speaks about being the bread of life, the true bread. And so there's going to be some ties between this morning at 11 o'clock in our afternoon message, and you'll want to be here for both of those. But in John chapter 6, I want to direct your attention down to verse 28. We'll read several verses here in John chapter 6, beginning in verse 28. Then said they unto him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." They said therefore unto him, "What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world." Then said they unto him, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." And Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I say unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." And they said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, 'I come down from heaven'?" Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, "Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me.' Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life." We'll work our way through this passage in just a moment, but let me introduce the message here with this thought. I just want to kind of direct your thinking. The hardest people to convince of something are those who've already made their mind up that they're not going to be convinced. Those are the hardest people to convince of something. And it doesn't matter what evidence you put forth. In that moment, they're just not going to believe. And you can't really help somebody who just doesn't want to be helped. And I think a pretty perfect example of not convincing anybody of anything when their mind is made up is social media. That's a really good example of it. You know, there's the keyboard warriors, where they get on their phones or they get on their keyboards and they got to make all the comments and read all the comments of some post on social media. And then this person, you know, they always have something negative to say, and then someone's going to defend this. And then they're going to say, "What sources do you have?" And then they cite some sources, and then they question the validity of the sources. It's just a big giant mess and a waste of time. Absolute waste of time. You're not going to convince anybody of anything through a keyboard on Facebook or on Instagram. And people's minds are made up about what they want to believe, and they're not going to be convinced one way or another. Well, that's kind of the way it was in Jesus' day with the Jews. There were Jews, of course, and in the blindness of their heart, they were not going to be convinced that Jesus was the Christ, that he was the Son of God. And you see kind of some evidence of that in the fact that Jesus is presenting himself as the bread of heaven that gives life for the soul. And they said, well, what sign are you going to do that we would believe? What sign would you do that would show that you're truly the Christ? Look at verse 30. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Well, you kind of get an idea of what their heart attitude was in that moment. And there's like, what work are you going to do to prove it to us? And if you go back in this context, you really could say, really? You're going to ask that question? What work are you going to do? I mean, because in the context before this, he just worked an amazing miracle where he fed the 5,000 with bread. Something only God could do. And here they are still saying, well, what work are you going to do to prove to us that you're the Son of God? Now look at verse 31. They said this, our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. They said, Moses gave our fathers bread from heaven to eat. And what are you going to do? What work are you going to do for us to prove that you're the Son of God? And again, this was after he just worked the amazing miracle of feeding the 5,000 with bread. Now look at verse 32. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. Jesus said, Moses didn't give you. He didn't give you bread from heaven. Maybe your fathers, maybe the nation of Israel, but he didn't give you bread from heaven. But here's something that God is giving you. My Father is giving you something better than what he gave them. He's giving you true bread from heaven, the kind that when you eat it, you'll never hunger again. And then Jesus begins to reveal himself to them as the bread of life or the bread of heaven, of which that manna that they were referring to was a type. And Jesus is the bread of life for the soul. And so this morning I want us to consider Jesus, and I want you to consider with me Jesus as the true bread. And we're going to look at this passage and break it down, and I'm going to preach to you about the true bread, bread for your soul. Let's ask the Lord to bless his word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the word of God. And I pray, Lord, that you'd give liberty to preach it. Lord, that your word would work in the hearts of men for your glory. And Lord, we do pray that your will is accomplished. And we thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Consider, first of all, the source of this bread. Again, we're talking about Jesus, the true bread, bread for the soul. Consider the source of this bread. Verse 32 says, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. What is the source of this bread? Jesus says, my Father is the one that gives you this true bread. It wasn't Moses who gave you that true bread from heaven, but God the Father gives it to you. And somebody might say, well, what is the bread? Well, verse 33 says, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. What is the bread of God? Jesus said, it's he which cometh down from heaven. Now notice verse 38. Jesus said, for I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Jesus is making it abundantly clear that he himself is that spiritual bread for the soul sent from God himself to the world. Every aspect of Christ's character, every word he said, everything he did, it all proved that he was from God, that he was from heaven. And in their heart, I think the Jews actually knew that, but because of the blindness of their heart and the stubbornness of their heart, they wouldn't admit it. Even the Pharisees who denied him knew that Jesus was from God. In John chapter 3, in verse 2, I want you to note this, John 3, in this context, Jesus is talking to a Pharisee named Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews. And in verse 2, the Bible says that Nicodemus, the same, came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Notice how he didn't say, I know that you're a teacher come from God. He said, we know. And who was he? He was a Pharisee of the Jews. Even those who denied the Lord in their heart probably knew that there was something about Jesus Christ. In John chapter 5, in verse 36, Jesus says, but I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. He says, the miracles I perform, the works that I do, bear witness that I am from God. John chapter 5 and verse 37, and the Father himself which hath sent me hath borne witness of me. Look at John chapter 9. In John chapter 9 and verse 30, the man answered and said unto them, why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Here was the man who was born blind, and Jesus heals him, and he receives his sight, and the Pharisees are questioning him. Who is it that did this to you, and how is it that you can see? And the man's like, hey, I don't know who he is, but I know this. There's not been ever a single instance in the world when somebody healed a person of their blindness. If he could do this miracle, how is he not from God? Of course he is. Well, they didn't want to admit that. So they turned the tables like, oh, well, you were born in sin, and you're going to teach us? It was the pride of their heart. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 22, the Bible says, you men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Why did these Jews not come to Jesus Christ? Why were they clamoring for more of a sign? What are you going to do to prove? Well, he had just done a miracle. Why didn't they believe in him? Well, it wasn't for a lack of proof. It wasn't for a lack of evidence. The reason was because they chose not to. They chose not to. They refused to. John chapter 11 and verse 47, the Bible says, then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, what do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. What was the motive for them not believing in Jesus? They wanted to keep the life that they had. They wanted the popularity. They said, if we don't do something about this, everybody's going to believe on him. Jesus is saying to these Jews, you have such opportunity and you have such blessing from God. You have spiritual blessing from God. You have a life-giving bread from God right here in front of you. It's a gift of the grace and the mercy of God. He wants to feed your hungry soul. He wants to give you eternal life. You have opportunity right in front of you to save your sinful soul. But they didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to receive it. And the application is this. It's heartbreaking and it's sad when people have a stubborn heart toward the Lord, or even walk away from opportunity to have truth. There's a lot of people who grow up in church. They grow up in Christian homes. They grow up in church of some kind, but then they walk away, and sometimes even denying that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. They grew up with the truth. Why do they walk away? Why do they resist? Why do they refuse? Well, the reason is because they want their life of sin. They want to control their own life. They don't want to yield to God. Jesus said in John 3, in verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Why is it that people visit church and they maybe come for a service or two, and they're like, oh, I don't like that. I don't want that. I'm not going back to that place. The gospel is preached. Life-giving message for the soul. Here's a gift from God for you. All you need to do is recognize and understand that you're a sinner before God, but God paid your sin debt that you could never pay. He paid it with the blood of His Son. There's a gift that God wants to offer, and people are like, I don't want to hear that. I don't want my life to change. I don't want to give up my life of sin. And they never come back. Why? Well, the Bible says, light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil, and everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest their deeds should be reproved. Their life is condemned. And they don't want to admit that. They don't want to see that. The truth of who Jesus is very plain to see, but it's plain to see for those who are willing and wanting to see. So we see the source of this bread. Jesus said, it's my Father. Secondly, I want you to note with me in verse 35 the form of this bread. In verse 35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Jesus Christ is not the one who gives the bread, but Jesus Christ himself is the bread of life. Of course, this is in spiritual terms that Jesus is speaking here. There's nothing else that will give eternal life than the bread of life, who is Jesus Christ. In other words, there's no way that your sin will ever be forgiven. There's no way that you'll ever see heaven apart from Jesus Christ. In Exodus chapter 16 and verse 15, we're going to be there this afternoon. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna. For they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. It's a reference to, or a picture, or a type of Jesus Christ. That was said of the manna in the wilderness, that it's bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. That statement is absolutely true of Jesus Christ. He is the gift of God. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 tells us, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. What I'm saying is this, no one will ever see heaven on their own. No one will ever see heaven by the works that they do. Nobody's ever going to have their sins forgiven through Muhammad or Buddha or the Catholic Church or baptism or communion or any other thing. Every person is going to stand before God, and you're going to stand before God justified, or you're going to stand before God condemned. The only way to stand before God justified is through the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not going to be in heaven because you thought you were a, quote, good person. No one will. And we're not going to stand before God and present to God our life's work and say, see, God, look at all the, quote, good things that I did. And I know I did some bad things, but man, the good things are sure much better and outweigh the bad things. See, God, I'm worthy of heaven. No one will ever stand before God approved by offering up their life work. It doesn't matter if you're a member of a church. It doesn't matter if you were baptized. It doesn't matter if you took communion. None of those things will ever get a person to heaven. No one will ever see heaven on their own. There's no salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Ephesians 2:18 says, "For through him, through Christ, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." The only access to the Father we ever have is through the Lord Jesus Christ. The form of this bread, Jesus says, it's me. I'm the bread of life. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I am the life. If you ask people if they believe in God, they say, "Yeah, I believe there's a God." "Do you believe in heaven and hell?" "Yeah, I believe in heaven and hell." "How do you get to heaven? Do you believe you're going to go there?" "Well, I hope so. I think so. Maybe so." "What do you base your hopes on?" "Well, I mean, I'm a pretty good person. I don't do bad things like some people do. Surely God takes note of that." No one's ever going to stand in heaven based on that argument or that reasoning. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Now notice verse 32, 35. Note the nature of the bread. "Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." In verse 32, Jesus says, "I am the true bread from heaven. My Father giveth you the true bread." The true bread is that which fully meets and perfectly satisfies all the need of a man. Philosophies of this world, religions of the world, those can never satisfy the need of a man's soul. You know, you have a need in your soul today. All of us do. None other name has the virtues in it that are needed for the healing of the sorrows of a sin-sick soul. Why? And you can read over in Acts chapter 8 about a man who was called the Ethiopian eunuch. And the Bible tells us in Acts 8 that this eunuch had come to Jerusalem for to worship God. And in that context, God uses a man named Philip. He was a preacher, and he preached the gospel in Samaria, and people were being saved. And then the Spirit of God picked Philip up and said, "Go out into the middle of the desert." And he takes him out into the middle of the desert, and he comes across a man, a single man, who's in his chariot, who's returning from Jerusalem. He came to worship God, and he's returning back to his place, and he's reading in the prophet Isaiah. He came to Jerusalem seeking after God. But the Bible indicates to us that he went away empty and unsatisfied. He didn't find what he was looking for the need of his soul. If you read on in that text, we start to see what it was that satisfied his longing and satisfied his soul. It was when Philip began at the same scripture he was reading in and preached unto him Jesus. And then he said, "Here's water, what doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you can." And he said, "I believe that Jesus is the Son of God." That's where he got saved. His life was different after that. What I'm saying is this. There are all kinds of religions out there that people look to try to satisfy some spiritual need in their soul, but it never satisfies. For example, why do people of other religions keep crawling on their knees until they're bloody to offer up a prayer and a sacrifice to a false god? Why do they keep doing that? Because there's a need in their soul that is never satisfied, and they keep trying to do the same thing over, hoping that they'll find some satisfaction in their soul. Why do people keep going back to the bottle? Why are drunks keep going back to the bottle? Because there's a something in their soul that's not satisfied. There's a longing in their soul that they need something to fill, and they can't find it, and they keep going back to the bottle. Why do drug addicts keep going back to the needle? Because their soul's not satisfied. People go to church, but there's still something missing in their life. What's missing is the true bread. And Jesus Christ, a relationship with Jesus Christ, is what is missing in their soul, the true bread. Why? Because He is the only one who can satisfy the soul of man so that he can be made right with God. I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up in church. I heard the message of the truth all my life. But I wasn't saved. I didn't have a relationship with God, not until I was 19 years old. And when I was 19 years old and I repented of my sin and confessed Christ, God changed my life, and the soul is satisfied from that day forward because it's the true bread. Jesus said, "You eat of this and you'll never hunger again." He's talking about spiritual satisfaction. He's the true bread. And he's also, in verse 33, the bread of God. "For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Not only does Jesus Christ meet all the hunger of a man's heart after God, but he meets all the hunger of God's heart after man. In Matthew 3 and verse 17, the Bible says, "And lo, a voice from heaven said, saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." In John chapter 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." 2 Peter 3:9 tells us that God is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What I'm saying is the heart of God toward sinful man is revealed in the fact that he gave his Son. It's a heart of love. Man cannot come to God. Sin separates us from any kind of relationship with God. Sin condemns us to die. And so God had to make provision for us through His Son. God poured out His wrath on my sin, on His own Son. And the Bible says that God saw the travail of His soul and was satisfied. Jesus Christ meets the desire of God's heart after man. He's the bread of God. If you're here today and you're saved, you ought to worship Him and honor Him, because He can both satisfy the heart of God and the heart of man. Amen? And then look at verse 35. He's also the bread of life. So we see here that He's the true bread, He's the bread of God, and we see also that He's the bread of life. "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." He's the bread of life. He is the living and life-giving bread. Notice what He says in verse 48. He says, "I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that if a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Jesus said that the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. What's He talking about here? Well, he's talking about His crucifixion. And right before His crucifixion, at the Last Supper, Jesus took the bread and He broke it And he gave it to his disciples and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." It was symbolic of the fact that he was about to go to the cross and he was going to be crucified. And he says, "My body has been broken for you, for your soul." It was symbolizing what was about to happen, that he would be crucified. He was about to be tortured at the hands of sinful men. But more importantly, he was about to take the wrath of God on himself for the sin of the world. He says, "If any man eat this bread, he'll live forever." The eating of this bread, it's not physical eating bread. It's spiritual. It's talking about receiving Jesus Christ by faith, believing that what he did on the cross of Calvary was for me. He became sin for me. He paid the debt of sin that I could never pay. He took my death and my place, and believing on him is the receiving of eternal life. He's the bread that is true. He's the bread of God. He's the bread of life. And notice lastly with me, almost lastly, the purpose. In verse 33, he says, "For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." What is the purpose of this bread? It's to give life to the world. You know, the world has many things that are attractive and useful to mankind. But one thing it does not have and will never have is that the world cannot give spiritual life. You look at the world right now and it's in chaos. It's clamoring for something. You hear the word peace, peace all the time. They want peace in the Middle East and they're trying to broker some kind of a peace deal, and all over, peace and satisfaction. The world is hungry at its heart for true peace, for true light, for true bread that will satisfy. But in unbelief, it won't look beyond itself. The world's always looking to itself to try to bring about an answer. Man is always looking to himself. The problem is that then he will always be without Christ if he's always looking to himself. What is the problem? The problem is Ephesians 2:12, which says that at that time ye were without Christ, having no hope and without God in the world. Without Christ, there's no hope. You know what is, people think it's bad enough to be without money. It's bad enough to be without health. It's bad enough to be without a home. Maybe without companions, but it's far worse to be without Christ because there's no hope for the soul. So if Jesus Christ is the bread of life and we need this bread, then how do we partake of this bread? Look at verse 35. And I'll close with this. "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." There's two simple words that are used here to express how the bread of life is received. He says, "He that cometh to me, and he that believeth on me." He says, first of all, "He that cometh to me shall never hunger." What does it mean to come to Christ? To come to Christ is a definite choice of the will after being drawn by God. Jesus said that no man can come to me except the Father draw him. Being drawn of God looks like this. It's having our spiritual understanding opened up to us so that we can see ourselves. We can see the condition of our own heart before God. And it starts to bring concern to my soul because I understand that I'm in trouble with God. I can see that I'm full of sin. I can see that I am undone. I can see that I deserve the wrath of God. That's what it means to be drawn of God. My spiritual understanding opened up so that I can see how much trouble I'm in with God. So coming to Christ then is acknowledging that I have nothing, that I am nothing, that I deserve God's wrath, that I'm in trouble, that Jesus Christ is my only hope. Coming to Christ is putting my faith in what Jesus Christ has done for my soul. It's the heart of repentance toward God as well. It's the heart of repentance that actually causes me to come to Christ. He says, "He that believeth on me shall never thirst." Believeth on Christ? Believe that Jesus was a person? Believe that he lived? What does it mean to believe on Jesus Christ? It's putting my faith in the finished work of Christ. What Jesus Christ did when he shed his blood, and it's only his blood that can redeem my soul. 1 Peter 1:18 tells us that we're not redeemed with corruptible things. You can't buy your salvation either. What we're redeemed by is the precious blood of Christ. Now notice verse 53. Verse 53 says, "Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you." Go to verse 63. "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." What Jesus is getting at here is that all that he had been saying was spiritual. Jesus said it, he said it that way on purpose because he knew what was in their heart. In verse 64, "But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him." Verse 66 says, "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." Jesus said it that way on purpose because he knew the hardness of their heart. And it wasn't that there wasn't any evidence that he was the Son of God. There absolutely was. They simply made their choice. Now notice verse 67. "Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? And he spake of Judas." That question that Jesus asked his disciples, "Will ye also go away?" That question is being asked of some of you today. Will you go away? Or will you answer like Peter, "To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Friend, you'll never see heaven on your own. Religion will never satisfy the need of your soul. You can sit in a church, you can do all kinds of, quote, good things, but they'll never be the thing that gives you eternal life. It is only a relationship with Jesus Christ. You enter into a relationship through repentance toward God and faith in Jesus Christ. Do you have true spiritual life? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the word today. And Lord, I pray that you'd use it in hearts. There may be some today who've never been truly saved. They've never been born again. Maybe they don't even know what that term, phrase, being born again means. It's being born spiritually, having spiritual life given to us. And there might be people who are religious, or they've always considered themselves to be pretty good people, thinking that somehow that merits them favor with God, that God will look at their life and see, you've been a good person, thinking that that's going to bring acceptance. Lord, I pray that you'd open up their spiritual understanding, that there's none that doeth good, no, not one, that the way that God sees us is sinful and wretched, that we're separated from God because of our sin, and what we need is a substitute. What we need is the true bread from heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you draw to yourself today, that the eyes of men would be opened up to the fact that they are condemned before God apart from Jesus Christ. And that there's no salvation and there's no forgiveness of sin in any other. We can never earn our way to heaven. We can never buy our way to heaven. We can never work our way to heaven. And Lord, I pray that you would have your will and way in hearts today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.